Back to the conversation in just a second. You know those times when life just straight up body slams you? Maybe it's a bad breakup, kind where your group chat becomes a therapy session, or that creeping burnout that starts with, I'm fine, and ends with you crying into leftover pizza on a Tuesday. Yeah, been there. But here's the thing. When I actually wanted therapy during moments like that, I hit the wall after wall. Nobody took my insurance, waitlist was out the wazoo, and I'm sorry, but I shouldn't have to pay a small fortune just to talk to someone who gets it. That's why I'm telling you about Rula, R-U-L-A. They're doing online therapy differently. Rula is a healthcare company that connects you with licensed therapists and psychiatrists who actually accept insurance, including over 100 different plans. Most people, get this, end up paying just $15 per session. That's right, $15. And Rula isn't about throwing you a random therapist and hoping it works out. No, they listen. They match you with someone based on your goals, preferences, and background. It's therapy built around you. No wait lists, no awkward calls, and you can literally get your first appointment as soon as tomorrow. They've got over 15,000 providers across the country. And if you're not sure if you need therapy, medication support, or just someone to help you figure things out, Rula's got you covered. It's true end-to-end mental health care that sticks with you. So go to Rula.com/ghost. Thousands of people are already using Rula to get affordable, high-quality therapy that's actually covered by insurance. Visit Rula.com/ghost to get started. After you sign up, you'll be asked how you heard about them. Please support our show and let them know that we sent you here at Real Ghost Stories Online. That's Rula.com/ghost. That's Rula.com/ghost. You deserve mental health care that works with you, not against your budget. Now back to the conversation.
This is a Real Ghost Stories Online Extra.
Hey guys, what's going on? So this is another long one from Ohio. So I don't know if you'll use it or not, but rather than breaking it up into three, I figured I'd just tell the whole story. This story happened from 1994 until 1995, growing up in a haunted house. So before we moved into the house that I would spend my high school years in, we lived in a small white, what used to be servants' quarters for a large colonial next door, and I'll tell you how we got there. So this is Doylestown, Ohio, and there's a town next door called Barberton, and Barberton has a hospital. And at the time, my dad and mom had gotten divorced when I was 7. My dad moves to his best friend's basement in Kenmore looking for a job. He's a nurse. He finds a job at Barberton Hospital. And we spent a couple summers on top of my uncle's musician's bargain basement up there in Kenmore, living above the store. And then we'd go back to my mom's house in Niles, right, during school. So I'm 12 years old. I decided I want to live with my dad. So I let him know, and he starts looking for places. And he had a motorcycle, and he was just driving down a country road, just so happened to see this little town, pulls in, never been there before, stops at the local gas station, and the man in front of him at that time is his best friend from high school. They grew up together. They did everything together. They were inseparable. They were two of a trio, and they lost touch after my dad went to the Coast Guard and just, you know, never really rekindled the friendship. So he's staring at his best friend from high school he hasn't seen in 25 years. And it just so happens that this man also lives in this town, and there's a little house for rent across from his. So my dad checks it out. Now this house, it really wasn't a house. Like I said, it was really more of a servant's quarters. It had a living room and a kitchen that were connected. And it was a small hallway that terminated in a bathroom that had no bathtub. It was the shower, vanity, and toilet. And then to the left, there was a small bedroom. My dad put his bed in the living room, and we were intended to sleep in the little bedroom. Well, there was only one heat source in the house, and that was this old school furnace of some sort underneath the house, and there was a large steel grate that it came up and it radiated out. There weren't forced air ductwork through the house, so that bedroom was incredibly cold, right? So sleeping in the bedroom, I hated it, especially in the winter. We had little space heaters, but it was really cold. And, you know, I would pull the covers over my head because at night I would see, you know, the headlights dancing off of the road. And, you know, the thing, you know, you think there are people walking around your bed. You think you hear things. But again, my dad's working three jobs. I'm there by myself as a young teenager. But it was a creepy house. And there was a built-in mirror, a floor-to-ceiling in the little kitchen that we would see that directly was across from my dad's bed in the living room. And we would often see a shadow man in the mirror. And one time I came home from Boy Scouts and the door was open and the storm door had been ripped off the hinges and was laying on the deck. And I turned to call the police and run across the street. And I ran smack dab into my friend who looked like he had seen a ghost. And he said that he was coming into the house because in, you know, the 90s in a small town, you don't lock the doors. He came in to wait for me to get home. And he bent down to tie his shoes, looks to the left, sees this black thing in the mirror, turns around and runs through the door. Well, shortly after that, my other brother came to live with us and we needed a bigger house. So we moved right around the corner into an old Victorian that was split into a bottom apartment that had the basement and then a top apartment. And there was a narrow set of stairs that went up to one of the two bathrooms in the house, but then the bathroom terminated in a wall because that's where they partitioned the two apartments, right? And the access to the second apartment was on the outside of the house. So you can imagine this is what a house that's 120 years old looks like. It's got the floor-to-ceiling windows. It's got the big gables. It's got all the ornate, you know, crown molding. It's got a central, almost like a small ballroom that has a fireplace that leads off to a kitchen, the two bedrooms, and the living rooms in the front. And out back, there's an old well cap. And then there's access with a pole chute to the basement. The basement, you can imagine, you know, it's 5.5 feet tall. It's got, you know, peat growing on the walls. It is really what you think of an old, kind of rickety old house. Well, trouble pretty much started immediately. We would be in bed and we would hear whispers. We would hear knocking. We would hear noises. One night I was woken up by a woman screaming in my ear to wake up. To see a small little light behind a dresser. And I knew we didn't have a nightlight. So I woke my brother up, said, "Hey, what's that?" We go and we investigate and we find that there's a sock laying on top, because boys throw their stuff everywhere behind a dresser, laying on top of a outlet to a window air conditioning unit, because of course in a 120 year old house, there's no central air, and it had caught fire because it shorted. And had we slept through that, this 120-year-old house would have went up in flames pretty much immediately. We probably all would have died. And we believe that woman was screaming at us to wake up. And my dad had a girlfriend at the time whom we didn't care for very much. Looking back, it was just, you know, just stupid. But she had a girlfriend that would often sleep in our beds when we were at our mom's in Niles. And that woman one time woke up to see an old lady scowling at her with her arms crossed, and she ran out of the room and slept in her car for the rest of the night. And we think that woman was probably the woman who was waking us up at night. My dad would often feel her get into bed, thinking that it was his girlfriend, but turning to look and there was no one there. We would often find our beds made, even though we, of course, teenage boys with a dad working three jobs, we would never make our beds ever, right? We would feel people behind us. We would be in the shower upstairs and feel cold breath on our neck. We would, you know, it got to the point where we would shower in pairs because we just couldn't stand to be up there. And probably the craziest thing that happened in that house was, one day we were in my bedroom playing video games and we had just watched a movie in my dad's room and left a wooden chair there. And his girlfriend was in there, you know, finishing up doing what she did. Well, we hear a loud crash and a scream and we run into the bedroom and we find a chair broken into two or three pieces and sticking into the wall. And there's a small bathroom off to the left. And my dad's girlfriend, the door was closed and she was screaming. And we opened the door and she was, you know, she was on the toilet not dressed. And you can imagine that she would be embarrassed by this, but she really just needed help out of the room. So we kind of picked her up and took her out of the room and got her to calm down and stop. She wouldn't stay in there, and we had to get her out of the room. And what she said happened was she was using their bathroom, and the chair picked itself up, threw itself into the wall, and then the door closed. And as soon as the doors closed, the lights flickered and they popped, and they said, and we went in, and it wasn't a breaker. The bulb itself had literally exploded. And, you know, of course you ask yourself, did she fake it? Well, one, why would she? And two, why would she want three boys that aren't hers staring at her in the bathroom and helping her out of the bathroom? So that was probably the craziest thing that happened in that house. But it was just always a feeling of dread. My mood changed drastically in that house. I would walk past the fireplace and things would fly off the wall behind me. I remember sitting in the living room and looking at yet another strangely floor to ceiling mirror built into the wall in the center room, and seeing that same man in black that we saw at the house around the corner. And I wasn't scared. I actually started bawling. I was so overcome with sadness that I started crying, and the people in the room with me were kind of wondering what's going on. Why is this 6'4", 340-pound teenager crying uncontrollably? But I really just couldn't stop. So the violence between the myself and my brothers would get to insane levels that we wouldn't feel anywhere else. It actually came to where we would feel sometimes more comfortable being back at my mom's apartment in Niles, except for one time. So this girlfriend had a son, and he lived with us, and we took him with us to Niles one time to hang out and give my dad and his girlfriend some time. And we were playing hide and seek, and it was in the hood and in Niles, and it was one of those old apartment complexes that you know, had seen a lot. It'd probably been built in the turn of the century. And we were playing hide and go seek, and we'd lost my younger brother. He was 7 years younger than me. We couldn't find him. We kind of got bored. And so I went upstairs, and I walked into my mom's bedroom, and I saw this little girl with black hair jumping on the bed. It was obvious to me that she wasn't real, that she was dead. And I heard a noise behind the couch in the bedroom, and I look, and it's my little brother hiding. And so I ran, I picked him up, threw him over my shoulder, and we kind of fell down the stairs getting out of the upstairs area. And, you know, a few years back, that was, you know, 35 years ago, we were talking at Thanksgiving, and he said, you know, we were talking, and he remembered me. He remembered the joy of winning the hide and seek contest and then wondering why I would just drag him down the stairs. He didn't see the little girl jumping on the bed. Apparently only I did. But I described this girl to the son of my dad's girlfriend, and he said that it resembled his dead sister who had died in a fire when he was a little kid. So things just always followed us. And when we went off and went to college, my dad moved away. And, recently I kind of drove back into town. I hadn't been there in a couple decades, and I stopped at the old house, and it looked like it had been rotting since the day that we left. It just looked completely dilapidated and just in a sad state of repairs, but somebody apparently was living there. And I went and knocked on the door, and nobody answered. And I got this distinct and I almost got, there was almost a voice inside my head, like somebody else, why are you here? Go away. I turned around and left. But, those 4 years shaped the way that I looked at the paranormal for the rest of my life. And it definitely changed my outlook on what's on the other side. Well, thanks everyone. Have a great day.
If you want access to more Real Ghost Stories, become a premium subscriber to Real Ghost Stories Online. Sign up now through Apple Podcasts and try it for 3 days free. Not on Apple? Go to patreon.com/realghoststories or ghostpodcast.com.